It's the Gregory Daily Brief, number 153 for Friday, February the 8th, 2019. Opening a closed mind. My name is Randy Cantrell. I am your host here. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio in Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. The website is growgreat.com. Few things are more closed than a closed mind. Somebody smarter than me is going to have to teach us all why we close our minds, but I have been fortunate enough to have experienced a few epiphanies in my life that forced my previously closed mind to open. And each time I feel like reacting, you remember that old V8 commercial? You know, I smack my forehead and just shout, "Wow, I could have had a V8, except I would have shouted something like, "Wow, I can't believe I was so stupid." But another emotion has always very quickly followed. Yeah, stupidity, that was the first thing to hit me. But right after that, thankfulness. I don't linger too long in berating myself for being so narrow-minded or blind or stupid. Instead, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that somebody helped influence me, helped convince me to reconsider what I thought, what I felt, what I believed. Blind spots. Man, they're funny creatures. They live inside our head. And you don't even know they're there. But once you spot them, you can't ignore them. And when you change your mind, they go away. Well, to be fair, those specific blind spots go away. But there are other blind spots. There's always blind spots. There are new blind spots. You just don't know they're there. But they are until something or somebody reveals them. And that's why I am so intently focused these days on surrounding yourself with people who can caringly challenge you and your blind spots. There are some important common denominators that I have seen over the course of my life in a closed mind, both my own and others. And maybe talking about these things can help us understand ways that we may can help open a closed mind, ours and someone that we care about. For starters, isolation fosters a closed mind. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to become hermits. We can isolate ourselves on a subject matter. A person can be surrounded by people, but never foster interaction with anybody who may challenge a particular point of view. Leaders do this. Leaders do this more frequently than they're able to admit. A leader operates based on a set of beliefs. Business owners, entrepreneurs operate on a set of beliefs that often are never challenged because, okay, well, he won't allow it. Mind closed. And simultaneously, the same person can be open-minded about many other things, but those things are not based on strong beliefs. The stronger the beliefs, the more closed the mind may become. Agreement fosters a closed mind. When I think back to the times when my closed mind was challenged, I realized that my blind spot and my closed mind were largely fueled by a lack of challenge. I thought something to be true. And the people around me, well, they thought the same thing. The result, our agreement never did provoke any of us to take a closer look. Assumptions are too comfortable, much more comfortable than considering that they may be wrong. My closed mind was always, 100% of the time, the result of assumptions that I thought were absolutely positively correct until I learned they weren't or that they might not be. It's smooth sailing to go our merry way day after day, living with all the things that we have assumed to be true. And honestly, there's just no work involved in that. The workout that kicks our butt is to have those assumptions challenged, to have somebody in our life who cares deeply enough about us to challenge us and make sure, well, to make sure that they're helping us. It's not about somebody who wants to manipulate us. It's not about somebody that wants to coerce us into their way of thinking. It's about somebody who caringly, and maybe in my case, bluntly, is able to express enough concern for us that they want us to make sure that we are seeing things clearly, clearly enough to learn, to understand, to grow. It's less about persuasion. It's more about making sure you're seeing things accurately. In my own experiences, my previously closed mind was opened not by somebody who was an opponent seeking to win an argument, but a trusted friend intent on helping me make sure that I was correct. And now I think we're onto something pretty powerful, don't you? This is why I am intent on whoever surrounds us not being judgmental or harpy or filled with shoulds. You should do this, you should do that, or shouldn'ts. You shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. All the armchair quarterbacking that goes on isn't helpful. It's just not helpful. It's a proud person, often filled with hubris, trying to impose on others. It's often fueled by that notion that they are smarter, they are wiser than you are. And maybe they are, but that really isn't the path to helping anybody open their mind. Rather, it's a surefire way to make them seal their mind even tighter. Minds are open when we feel safe and cared for, and yet people waste everybody's time pushing, pressing, arguing. I mean, look at marketing and sales. Look at your relationships. I mean, people are putting forth good arguments, and I get it. It's a solid tactic, but it's completely fruitless up against a closed mind. Influence and persuasion, yeah, those are terrific skills. But if a mind is closed, they're no match. The relationship means everything. Until you have a relationship filled with safety and care, you're powerless to open a closed mind. Now, you can use this knowledge in your own life to battle your own closed-mindedness. You can also use it to help the people with whom you have a relationship. Don't confuse all of this with things like our American court system. You know, the justice system here in America is built on adversarial performances. It's advocacy. On one side, there's the advocate for innocence. On the other, there's the advocacy for guilt. And in between the two are the people who are going to decide. And in our case here in America, that's either going to be a jury or a judge. And while they're supposed to be impartial, they're still human. They listen, they observe, and hopefully they're not so closed-minded. They can't see the facts as they should. But when the jurors retreat to make their decision, their conversations and their minds are changed, potentially changed, maybe even practically changed, based on how each member feels about the other members. My money is on the juror who the other jurors most trust. That person that they most like, that's the person that's got the most influence inside that room. And it is probable that the jurors mostly lean toward not just the facts, but the likability of the people doing the advocating. Because guess what? People are people. Who surrounds you makes you feel safe and cared for, or not. But people willing to challenge you, mostly because they care that much for you. And even in the moment when you suffer the epiphany of, man alive, I can't believe I was that stupid, you know that this person, they care. And so your mind opens up like a flower that blossoms, and suddenly the fragrance of an open mind, it sweeps through your nostrils, and it helps all that fog that once occupied your mind and your feelings dissipate. It's the difference between being outside on a gloomy, foggy, muggy day, or a day that's crisp and filled with sunshine and there's not a cloud in the sky. There's just no comparison. Hey, let me tell you about the Peer Advantage by Bula Network. Yeah, I'm going to pitch you something. Are you an entrepreneur in the United States? My apologies to my European, Australian, and foreign friends, but time zones, they're the issue here. If you're running a company with revenues between $1 and $100 million a year, yeah, it can be more, it could be less, then I'd like to learn more about you and your company. I'd like to offer you the opportunity to be more intentional, purposeful, and mindful of who you surround yourself with. Specifically, I'd like to see if you're a good fit to join a group of 7 entrepreneurs and me as we work together to learn, to understand, and grow. And I also want to give you the opportunity to see if you think such a group would be a good fit for you. The purpose? Well, the purpose is very simply to help each other grow our business, to grow our leadership, to grow our lives, to create this uniquely powerful group where every member feels safe, cared for, and helped. Just go to BulaNetwork.com. That's B-U-L-A. B-U-L-A is Bula. It's a Fiji term. You know the story. BulaNetwork.com/apply. BulaNetwork.com/apply. Complete that really short survey. It's a Google form. And then we'll jump on a phone call together. Mostly, I just want to learn more about you and your business. I'm interested, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have. Consider it kind of a first date, and we can decide if we want to have a second one or not, or maybe we just want to part ways and be friendly. That's okay, too. Have a great weekend. I look forward to hearing from you. Be well, do good, grow great. Thanks for being with me this week. Lord willing, we'll start it all over again next week. The website is growgreat.com. See ya.